Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
That's the sound of rock cracking, and I got a question for you. Are you ready to sing a new song? Are you wanting to hear something different you won't hear anywhere else? Well, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You'll hear it on today's show, and we're glad you're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's www.WebTalkRadio.net. Welcome, new listeners, new friends. We thank you for continuing to tell your friends and neighbors about rock splitting politics. This show may mark something you have never heard before on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because I got a good friend of mine, a Barack Obama supporter in 2008 and 2012. He's a dear friend, and I love him. He's a pastor, and he's going to speak to us today on why he thinks Barack Obama has been good for America. This is not a debate time. This is the time to hear the heart of so many people across America who are so loyal to this president, especially in the African-American community. And I wanted Bishop Parks to come on today's show and let you hear a side that so many times conservatives don't get to hear. So Bishop Parks will be coming on in just a few minutes. And then after he speaks, we are going to get into some of the news about the Israeli-Hamas fight, war, whatever you want to call it. It's in a truce period now. And as we record this, things are looking better for peace and security in that region. But we got something to tell you about former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Does she have a role in this war that's just happened? Well, there is a reason to know she has a role in it, even though she's not the Secretary of State now. But what she did when she was Secretary of State had big implications in this war. You haven't heard about it in the mainstream media. You're going to hear about it on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics on the second half of the show. Also, for those who are keeping up, it's been the most bizarre, crazy, can't believe what's going on, you don't know what's going to happen next in the Republican primary in Mississippi between incumbent Thad Cochran, who won the runoff against this well-financed opponent, the Tea Party-backed state senator Chris McDaniel. And he won, Cochran won by over 7,000 votes, 7,667 to be exact. But this week, past week, the challenger, Chris McDaniel, filed a challenge. And the executive committee of the Republican Party in Mississippi declined to hear it, to pass it on to the courts to help expedite the process. And so we're going to talk about that after we talk about Hillary Clinton and the role she had in the Hamas-Israeli war. We just seen. And so you don't want to miss the updates on the Senate race and seeing what Hillary Clinton was up to when she was Secretary of State. Wow, so much to do. So let me get started. Let me introduce our guest is Bishop Clarence Parks. Bishop Parks is a pastor, but he also oversees churches in several states, in North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Michigan. So he's a busy person, but we have developed a friendship over the past several years, and there's not anything I don't believe I can go to Bishop Parks and talk about, especially in politics, even though he is very much a Barack Obama supporter. He has been, and he does believe that Barack Obama has been good for America. Now, this is something that many of you in my audience have not heard on this show, and I think it's very important to listen to Bishop Parks' heart. I'm not going to debate with Bishop Parks. There's time and place to do things like that. But you, as my listener, as conservative, most of you are conservatives. We got some moderates. I know we got some liberal friends that listen to us from time to time. But listen to Bishop Parks' heart. I'm going to let him speak a little more than I do most guests, because I do want you to hear his heart. And I'll be asking him some questions. But this is something you need to understand, why so many in America and the African-American community are so loyal to the president of the United States, President Barack Hussein Obama. So let's just get Bishop Parks right on the air and take a listen to this. Well, Bishop, I appreciate you coming on our show today. And there is a question I'd like to ask you, and that is, how do you feel about America?
Brother Ed, I love America. You know, you and I, we're friends. I love America. I think America is the greatest nation in the world. I am so glad that God allowed me to be born here. I was born in the mid-50s into this nation. And I know that God has a purpose for me being here. I've seen some dark sides of America, but I've also seen some great sides of America. And I've seen dark sides of all people as far as races and things of that nature. And I just wouldn't care if people could get to the point where they could understand that bad people are in all races. I was so elated about America when they elected the first black president of the United States, because I felt within my heart that would never happen in my lifetime. My mother and my father, which is 86 years old now, they was 80 at the time when President Barack Obama was elected, and they cried because they felt within their heart that they would never see that day. And they literally cried because of that.
And Bishop Parks,
I know that they seen some things. They seen some greater dark sides than I did. You know,
right? I'm gonna say they were back in the definitely through the Jim Crow era in Mississippi.
Right.
And things,
right,
like
exactly,
you said,
right,
very dark days.
Right.
A lot of people, very few people alive, may even know the dark sides that they had seen.
Right, exactly right. Them being 86 years old, you're exactly right.
And now, one of the things, of course, it wasn't just your parents. We saw people across the nation. But tell me how, like in your church, in the African-American community, right where you live, there was more than just your mom and dad crying. People thought they'd never see this day when they actually had an African-American elected as president of the United States.
Right, and there was older people in my church, some that was older than my mom and dad. They was also crying, too. But there was young people that was crying because it was a proud moment for them. And I know, Brother Ed, that we actually are governed by actually two political parties in the United States. That's the Republican Party and also the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And people many times in general do not agree with one side's policies. But we have to applaud America for actually electing a black president. And I feel that that other nations are looking at us at this time. I do feel that there's the bright side of that was that 42% of white America voted for Barack Obama the first time and 39% the second time. But I think that most white America looked past his skin tone and looked at the content of his heart. Even those that did not vote for him, some folks did not vote for him because he was an Afro-American. That was a small, small number. Some people just did not vote for him because of his policies. But I will say the dark side of that is this. Mm-hmm. I think, and I don't think America is aware of it, that when they polarize the situation and say that he was born somewhere else and smuggled into America, mm-hmm, it is an insult to America. Number one is because they're telling other nations and other worlds and other powers that America do not have enough intelligence, educational skills to produce a man of his kind, a black man, Afro-American, to become president. So they're saying that we are weak. They say that we are insufficient. And that, and that level, when they're saying that they have to smuggle somebody else from another nation to become president, that's an insult to America. And those that saying that need to stop, because that bothers me, because you put another take on America to have other nations look at us like they're more intelligent than us. And it's also an insult to black America, because you're saying that there is no black man that was qualified or could be qualified, and you have not produced a black man, even in America, to sit in the White House. So I wish as a whole, those that are saying that would stop that. But another thing is, I think God himself, mm-hmm. Brother Ed, had something to do with this, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 75 and 6 that promotion comes from the Lord. I do believe that somewhere God allowed this to happen. I don't think America is being punished or anything of that nature. I think America is actually being evaluated. I mm-hmm. think it's being evaluated so it can be elevated. I really do. I think to the point where when we evaluate ourselves and see within ourselves, okay, how can I deal with something that I don't like? Mm-hmm. Or something that I think that shouldn't be at this present time. And we have to evaluate our hearts, not our minds, because our hearts know the truth before our mind know the truth. And so we know what's in our heart before our mind processes it and before our mouth speaks it. So I really believe in my heart that God did this. Proverbs 21:1 said, "The heart of the king is in the hand of God." And just like the water brooks, he turned it whichever way he will. That's what God said. So in the process, I believe God said, look, America, at your greatness. There was a time in your life when you had a black mark on your life through slavery, where you enslaved people, brought them to America, put them in chains, and did harsh treatment to them. Mm-hmm. But look at how great you are. You have elected the first black man into the White House, and look, another reason, another thing of your greatness is he has an African name. So now I'm telling you, white, black, Hispanic, Asian American, Native Americans, forget about the past, because I have brought you past your past. And in the process, now all of you work together as one people, because you are a great nation. I really believe that's what God is saying. And this black man that is in the White House, he does not have what you would call, what some people would call a Christian name, like John or, you know, or Paul or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he has an African name, which is no more less than a Christian, which is no more less. That's just their name, just like Gonzalez, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Right.
Or either Chief Stone Eagle or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's their heritage. So in the process, God is saying, look at how great you all are. You all have gotten past what used to be. Now you're moving towards what I want to accomplish through you all. I really believe that in my heart. I really do.
Well, Bishop Parks, you know, you and I go back a long time, and I know your heart, and I appreciate you coming and telling us these things. And I can tell you that most of my listeners have probably never heard President Obama positioned in that light, and I know you've heard that and you've spoken it many times, and especially we hear that in the African American community and other communities across America, minority communities. I think everybody can be proud, and that's what you're saying. And there are some people that keep wanting to say, well, he was born in Kenya or he had Kenyan roots, and I've never heard that point before, that it's almost what it is, an insult not only to America itself, but especially to the black community, saying we can't produce a black man worthy of the White House. And yet it has been done, and he's been not only elected, but reelected.
Right, and America did it. America did it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't India. It wasn't France. It wasn't Russia. It wasn't Nigeria. It wasn't any of those. America did this. But in the eyes of those nations, we are telling those nations that they are greater than we are. And that bothers me. It really does.
And he did say one of the things that, you know, you feel like God's saying, look what you've done, America, and your greatness. Now, forget about the past. And, of course, we know not everybody can forget about the past.
Right.
And yet,
that's white and black, you know, because, right. You know, when we look at our past, you know, as black people, we heard of it. I heard of it. But I also moved past that place of hurt where I try to bring healing in through reconciliation and sitting down. And, you know, like you are a Republican Tea Party. I'm a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And I would say that I'm a progressive Democrat, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's things that's in the party I don't agree with. But there's things in your party I don't agree with. But it does not keep us from being Christian brothers, and that's what I love about Christ. I really do. We can disagree, but we can still love one another without hatred, you know.
Yeah, exactly, and that's where those points about forgetting about the past. And we as a nation, I know you and I have come together, and we always can. But
right.
It seems like our nation has a problem coming together and saying, what can we achieve? You know, instead of tearing each other down, what can we build together? And that's the fact that President Obama has a couple more years left
right.
in his presidency. And that's where, do you feel like we've got time left to build something together?
I do. I think any time Christ enters in into the picture, something positive can happen. He says that with man, all things are impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And so I think when Christ enters into the picture, and if I think if we would, because I'm going to be honest. I got to be honest.
Yeah, be honest.
Our sides are polarizing the situation. And if we listen to our politicians produce racism, that's on both sides, mm-hmm. Democrat and Republicans. And because of what party we associate ourselves with, we lead with their thinking instead of thinking like Christ. Mm-hmm. And what happens is those men, after the day is over with, they go out and have a cup of coffee and sit down and eat dinner with one another. And things of that nature, and then they actually fill their bank account with money, while we, the working people, are sitting here struggling and pondering over what to do and what is right. And see, and sometimes we allow our parties to separate us, Christians, even Christians, allow our parties to separate us when we should come together and try to make this nation better. You know, I think if each state, each city, each county came together and said, look, we're going to do what's best for our county, our city, our nation. No matter what nobody else is doing, what anyone else is doing somewhere else, we're going to do what's best for this city, for this state. And then if everybody else do the same thing and stamp out indie windows and things that irritate us and actually separate us, we could become better. I believe that in my heart. I really do.
I do too, Bishop, and you know that, and what you said is just if we'd focus locally wherever everybody is, and the whole nation would be lifted up if
right.
everybody would focus locally on what's best and put the, you have ideologies of parties, but you can push so, because we can find so much common ground we can agree on.
Right.
And that was Bishop Clarence Parks, and we're going to listen to some more of his interview in shows in the next couple weeks or so. But I do want to remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you a vision that I see for America, not from the Tea Party of 2009, but what is happening, what has happened, where are we going, and why did I have Bishop Parks to tell you his heart and share his heart with you today. I'm going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Here, I want to remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and we're glad that you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. They have some great shows on Web Talk Radio. You can go right there to the website and look at all the other shows. Check them out. Even Newt Gingrich got a show there. And again, we are glad to be one of the top shows, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We have listeners from across the world, but especially the United States. We have a lot of listeners in my home state of Mississippi who've been following this bizarre Senate election that we're going to talk about toward the end of the show and the new updates on that. So stay tuned and listen to that. And we're also going to talk about Hillary Clinton. But before we do that, I just remind you that we are still selling our books. We're more than just a radio show, and you can buy the book. Go to the website. Go to the front. It'll take you to the website, and you can order your book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We got some more conservative books right there that you can order. A couple I've written, a couple I've got essays in, so we're glad to get those out as long as they remain available. Now, let me tell you, in the coming weeks, we got some things we're going to update with a new website. We're going to get ready for docholliday.org. That we have got that name secured, and we're going to be putting some things up to have a more interactive site and to let you know some of the visions. What we've seen in the past is some of these, the Tea Party movement, where it used to rally hundreds and thousands in different places, and now it seems you can't get a rally together. What's happened? Well, we are moving. We're in a transition time. And so that's what I want to talk about right now is we have a lack of a voice in America. I would like to call a voice of reason. The Tea Party hit, and I'm a part of the Tea Party. I've been a part of the Tea Party, but I see more of a vision than just the Tea Party seems to be putting out. And that includes this race in Mississippi where some people are acting like it's 2009. Now, what is going on? We are in a transition time, and the Tea Party has been effective in getting some people together like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, some people elected in the position. But what happened? Well, the IRS abused the Tea Party. Others abused it. Call it racist. And this is the furthest thing that we need to be arguing about. We know the Tea Party movement itself was wanting good government, still does. But where is the voice of reason that can build coalitions? The reason I'm saying that is because Barack Obama has been elected and reelected. We just got through hearing Bishop Clarence Parks tell his heart of why he thinks that's good for America and how it brings pride and a part of ownership, I guess, into America that the black community, many have never felt they ever had. But what we're looking at is just two more years left in this president's administration. We are in a transition. It's not fighting for Barack Obama as much as now fighting for America, fighting for those jobs. And that is the voice of coalition building. We need a coalition to bring conservative ideas to the front forefront, because after 8 years of the liberal agenda, and how much better is America off? Is the world better off? The answer seems to be no, but are we prepared for a voice of reason to bring people together? And that's what we want to do on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We are a conservative. You can go back and listen to the archives. But I want to sing a new song, just like we started the program with. Sing a new song. And that's what from U2's song, coming right out of the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. I want to sing a new song. You need to hear a new song. And I want to be a part of a group, of a voice, of reason that says America is worth saving. America is worth walking the extra mile for. What do we need to do? That's why you need to tune in right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics in the next few weeks and continuing. You'll hear shows that will bring the voice of reason bring America together and let's get some things done. We don't always have to agree, just like my good friend Bishop Parks. I don't agree that Barack Obama has been good for America when it comes to policies, but nobody can ever erase his fact that he is the first African-American president. And didn't you like the way that Bishop Parks said it hurts America's image when people say this president was born in Kenya and not in America, and that we aren't worthy enough to train and educate a black man in America to be president? That's what the black community feels. You need to feel what they're hearing. And from the Tea Party movement, we got to grow the framework. Now, again, if it's Tea Party, freedom, I'm all for freedom. And to be free from the tyranny of big government. Be free from having to worry about the health care law that is destroying this country, in my opinion. So we got some answers. Yes, right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we'll be putting out some answers. We've talked about a few of them before. We're gonna get those streamlined so you can better understand them, get guests on and help us understand that we're ready to sing a new song in America. And I hope you'll tune in and listen to us each week, because we're going to have some shows you won't hear anywhere else. Now, saying all that, what did Hillary Clinton do in the war just recently with Hamas and Israel? Well, one of the things that people don't talk about is back in 2012, it was Hillary Clinton that aided in the construction of something. What was that she aided in? Well, what happened was that when there were some fighting back when she was Secretary of State, she helped broker a ceasefire quickly. But one of the deals that Clinton brokered, this Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, back in 2012, she brokered a deal that required Israel to ease its blockade of building materials and other dual-use goods bound for Gaza. And, of course, Hamas rules that. And the Israelis did not want construction materials to help build Hamas's ability to attack them and build underground networks and weapon depots. You know, they can use that construction material and concrete to build bunkers and rocket launching pads. But you know what? Clinton bought Hamas's pledge that such supplies would go to build bridges, hospitals, and schools. And maybe they built the schools around their rocket launchers. I don't know. But for 5 years, and you know, that, well, the Israelis had a 5-year blockade, but they lifted it under the pressure from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And it's just a year ago that Israel discovered that Gaza had dug a 1.5-mile concrete tunnel. And it went under Israel's border to carry out terrorist attacks inside its territory. And then, but Israel is still allowed to transfer of 1,000 tons of cement and steel into Gaza just because it's under that brokered agreement by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And now, you know what they did with it. We know there were, I think, like over 50 concrete reinforced tunnels all over Gaza going into Israel so the underground they could send terrorists in to the country of Israel and cause havoc. So Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, she believed Hamas when they said, we're going to use these to build schools and hospitals. We got to have construction supplies. So do you think she would make a good president when she naively believed Hamas leaders' pledge to use these only for good things? No. They built tunnels. They lied to her, and she bought it hook, line, and sinker. So we got for an update on the Secretary, not the Secretary of State, but the runoff election in Mississippi in the Republican primary, a lot of disgruntled people, disenfranchised people feel like they got punched in the gut because Thad Cochran won the runoff. But his challenger, Chris McDaniel, the state senator in Mississippi, challenged him. Nobody gave him a chance at first, but he raised large sums of money from Tea Party back groups around the country and Tea Partiers, and raised millions and millions of dollars were pumped into his campaign, a lot of it through PACs that he couldn't control. But what happened is he won the preliminary primary, but he did not get 50%, and he won by around 1,000 votes or so. And it looked like, by all history, the precedent was that the incumbent would be defeated. It's just most of the time it happened when they were behind. But during the runoff, during it's 3 weeks to the runoff, and the Thad Cochran team got out and they really changed around their whole campaign. Now, what has happened, the McDaniel camp, after they got beat by 7,667 votes in the runoff election, and Thad Cochran won it, the sitting senator won, but the McDaniel camp has come out and found radio ads that had that talked bad about the Tea Party being racist and wanting to keep black Mississippians from voting, which was totally unfair and unfortunate and not true. And yet, they on these radio ads, they said, who put them out? Well, this Cochran campaign, it says it wasn't them. Some of the PACs had put that out. But what was not only that, there are some illegal votes. If you vote in the, it's an open primary in Mississippi, but if you vote as a Democrat in a Democratic primary, you're not allowed to vote in the runoff. But everybody else can legally vote. So the McDaniel camp says they found over 15,000 votes that should be illegal or thrown out. And they put together over a 200-page challenge to the election, and the GOP State Executive Committee of Mississippi refused to look at it because they didn't have time. They said it's expediency, you need to go straight to court. So that's where it's going to court. Everybody's having to lawyer up, money on both sides. And the FEC, Federal Elections Commission, says you can't use money you raise for campaign to pay legal fees, so you got to set up a separate fund. So it's costing the Cochran campaign and the McDaniel campaign it's causing them to raise funds, and then there's a general election looming real soon, coming up in November. So the crazy, bizarre election, it's something that somebody one day ought to write a book about, I believe. So it's still not over because the challenger is challenging the incumbent now in court. And there's a lot of things I could really break in detail. We may do that in some shows coming up, because a lot of things have happened. A lot of people hurt on both sides. The African-American community, McDaniel camp accused 40,000 liberal Democrats, most of them African-American Democrats, they said, came in and voted, and that's the difference. And yet, how can he prove that? And so there's a lot of things, and I know some African-American Mississippians who voted for Thad Cochran the first time, the second time, and plan on voting for him in November. And so there's a lot of accusations, and there's been a lot of false reporting. There's been a black preacher who said he was paid by a Cochran camp to buy votes. And then when the attorney general came to talk to him, all of a sudden he recanted his story. And then now there is allegedly one of the campaign spokespersons for McDaniel, and someone says that paid the black preacher or helped raise money for the black preacher to give an interview where he would lie about paying votes for Cochran. Very crazy time, and I don't know how they're going to sort it all out, but it is going to court, so surely we'll get some resolution down here in Mississippi. It's been a long, hot summer in politics, although we've had some cooler weather, but not cooler heads. So that's where I want to be, a voice of reason to help explain to you what's going on, and let's talk to all sides and not ready to debate. This is a time for America to come together, because Barack Obama is ending his administration in a couple years. We have got to get on the same page of conservative ideas and show how they will work better than any of the liberal ideas that are undergoing now. We're under socialism now. Is it getting better? Well, we're going to have some great shows coming up. I'm glad you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Tell your friends and neighbors it's must listen to radio now. And you sure don't want to miss next week's show as we dive into some of the election results of what's going on in primaries and setting up for the general election. We got some more good things to say. May let hear a little bit more of Bishop Clarence Parks. And now I just got to remind you and tell you that the voice of reason is like little hinges. Little hinges can swing open great big doors of hope. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.